Hello. I would like to welcome you to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenilia Harris, certified financial planner, member of the CNBC Financial Advisor Council, and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of professional women who are going through various life transitions, such as job change, marriage, widowhood, or retirement. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women executives and women business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. My guest today is Lizetta Braxton. Lizetta focuses her financial advisory practice on being the financial planner to the rest of us. Unlike many financial advisors who focus only on the super rich and 1%, Lizetta partners with everyday people who desire the financial freedom to influence, experience, give, and make a difference for their family and future generations to create wealth for the common good. As a certified financial planner practitioner with more than 18 years' experience in wealth management services, Lizetta offers personalized financial advice, investment management, and educational seminars to individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. She offers a safe space for clients to connect with their values and develop a financial plan to preserve, grow, and manage their finances for a secure and abundant life. In 2008, she founded Financial Fountains, a fee-only financial planning and registered investment advisory firm that serves clients from around the country. Lizetta holds an MBA in finance and entrepreneurship from the Wake Forest University School of Business, a BS in finance and international business from the University of Virginia, and a certificate of achievement in personal financial planning. She resides in the Baltimore metro area with her husband, Brad, their daughter, Karis, and dog, Samson. Let's welcome Lizetta Braxton.
Thank you, Zenilia. It's great to be in this conversation with you.
Well, I was excited about having you on because I wanted to highlight, you know, a colleague that I admired, and I also wanted to just share your story because I feel that your story is powerful. So let's begin by talking about your professional progression. So tell me what led you to starting your firm, Financial Fountains?
I started Financial Fountains in 2008, and we know what happened in 2008, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, the housing crisis. And for most people, they said, wow, you know, that's an interesting time to start a practice. But it was the perfect time. It was the perfect time for me because my focus was on financial advice, mm-hmm. helping people really understand what they have, their resources, and how best to put it to work. Obviously, that includes investments, but it also includes starting with their goals and what's important to them and where they are and where they want to be. I think the other piece of this is that I intentionally wanted to work with people who have been overlooked by Wall Street, mm-hmm. starting off with those who are considered middle America, mass affluent. And then what I also had realized is that a lot of people have been overlooked, even if they're considered high net worth as well. So the population that I really target is people who are overlooked by Wall Street, want that personalized attention, and have a commitment to wealth for the common good.
So I'm going to piggyback off of something you said, which is the personalized experience. Talk to me more about what, you know, your clients receive in that personalized experience. So can you detail to me what that looks like? Because I think a lot of people don't understand what to expect when they work with a financial planner, a financial advisor such as yourself, because they have been taught or have experienced it from one perspective, which is just dealing with the investments.
Yeah, so I root everything in people's goals and values. That's teased out in the initial conversation. I start there before we even get into the details about the numbers. And as we're talking about their goals and values, then I bring in the conversation about what do you have? What are your assets? What are your liabilities? What's coming in terms of income? What's going out? And then as a part of the financial planning process, we're looking at all the areas, so we're rooting everything in their goals and their values, and then taking steps with their money rhythm, talking about their cash flow, what's their lifestyle plan, how much does it take to operate their household comfortably, and then bringing in investments, and then insurance, then income tax planning, as well as estate planning, and small business planning, too, if that's something that's of interest to them. You also get questions about, you know, how much house, you know, should I buy along the process as well. And I know this sounds like a lot of areas. It is. So that's why I typically work with my clients, you know, on a retainer basis, on a year-long basis. And we're talking investments, too, so I may have missed that. But what you see is that it's a very holistic approach that integrates all aspects of financial planning, tying it directly to their goals and values. Now, there's some people who say, I just kind of want a second opinion on what I'm doing, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just one particular project. I can work with them as well on that. So I think that the clarification is that you have someone walking along on the financial journey with them. When they're coming to these decision points, they have someone who can help them think through and really tie back once again to their goals and values.
I love that. I think that is so important, is recognizing that everything pretty much ties to, you know, what you value and your specific goals, because otherwise it's almost like you're the money kind of is just out there, and if it doesn't have anything to attach to, there's no connection between the two for you to kind of move forward. So right. I agree with you that, you know, understanding people's underlying goals, and then you know, I like the piece about, you know, recognizing what's their value system, which is, I think it's very different in our industry because it's always been about the money.
Yeah.
But you got to have a purpose behind that. So I think that's fantastic. So what do you want your legacy to be as a woman in the financial services industry?
My legacy, I'm hoping, is perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about, you know, being a financial planner, but I'm also a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I elected to own my own business instead of working for a major firm because I wanted the freedom to design my own practice and the culture that is important to me. And so what the legacy I hope to live is to inspire others who have a strong idea, strong vision about how they want to serve their clients and really know that it's possible and that it is something that takes a lot of patience, a lot of determination, and a lot of support. So hopefully they won't be discouraged and
mm-hmm.
partner with other people that will help them kind of stay afloat when things get hard. And I'm glad that I've had the benefit of having conversations with you as well, too, regarding this journey about being a business owner within the financial planning profession.
Yes, you know, I think that's one of the things that can be hard to do because we're in an industry where it can be cutthroat, and we need to have a support system, and I'm a big believer in having a support system that extends beyond the financial services industry, because sometimes you get such great ideas from people who are not in the industry. They just give you ideas that's outside of the box. So I definitely am on the same page as you with making sure that you have a support system, because being a business owner, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, it's hard.
Yes, it is, but very rewarding if that's how you're wired.
Yes. Because
yes.
I think once you do it, it's very difficult to go back to working for someone else. Like, you know, so when things get hard, you start thinking about, you know, well, should I continue along this path, or should I, you know, look at taking on a 9-to-5 again. And I think once you've been on your own for so long and you're building this, you're creating this business legacy, then that becomes the driving force, and so the 9-to-5 isn't as appealing.
Yes, and I think the other part of this is that you still have to stay in communication and dialogue with people who take an interest in you. Even if it is an opportunity that from the offset you're like, from the onset you're like, no, you know, I don't want to do that. But it affirms what you're doing well when you're having these conversations and people are coming to you. And it either solidifies that you're on the right path, or some people do have to say, maybe this isn't for me. So I do encourage those to keep the conversations going, because you just never know. It's either going to refine your vision. It's just going to refine your vision.
Right. And each experience is a growing opportunity. So, and that's what's part of, that's the main part of life is growth.
Yeah.
So based on your experience as a professional woman in the financial services industry, what are some tips you can share to help others advance in their careers and expand their capabilities towards executive leadership?
I'm going to have to respond to that based on my own experience, which may not be everyone's experience.
Okay.
I have done a lot of volunteerism, and it has allowed me to work through some of the things that I enjoy about being in the profession and not enjoy about being in the profession. So what I enjoy about being in the profession is collegiality, right? So when you're in a volunteer perspective, people who have different business practices, different models, different approaches. So just by way of having a common focus of that volunteer aspect, you're also getting to know other people and how they are running their practices and what's important to them.
Mm.
What I have not found to be very helpful about the industry is the lack of diversity and inclusion. What that means for me as an African-American female, I don't see many people of color, specifically African-Americans. And also the lack of females, which, thank goodness, the numbers are stronger, you know, as a female, but definitely not as an African-American. With volunteerism, it's allowed me to help be a part of the solution to this problem of the lack of diversity and inclusion. So what I would say in terms of the leadership, tying that to leadership, is that I got to know a lot of people who are decision makers within the industry by volunteering. I also was kind of taught just by my passion and these opportunities what it means to be in executive leadership, because I didn't have the same exposure when I started. It just kind of happened because of my passion for financial planning, my passion for diversity and inclusion. Opportunities arose, and I said yes. And I kept pushing through, and I worked with colleagues and learned what it meant to be a leader of, you know, a nonprofit institution, which I didn't have experience before.
That's powerful about how you focused on volunteerism and the opportunities that came from that, because I will tell you that my experience, I would have never even thought of volunteerism from that perspective, because I think a lot of times we look at volunteerism from a limited lens, and you're explaining how you can get so much more from connecting to others, especially those who are in the same industry as you. But again, I'm thinking you also gained a lot of experience and information from those who weren't in the same industry as you as well. Is that a correct statement, or?
Actually, no. I really channeled my volunteerism to the profession. I did. And it was just because of the opportunities that kind of presented itself, and my deep passion for financial planning.
Okay.
And financial planning is becoming a profession that is known better than it was when I first started.
Right,
and
right.
And based on my other colleagues who've been in the industry for 3 decades, you know, they've been championing, you know, financial planning as a discipline. Now I am taking the skill set that I've learned and broadening my perspective of, you know, being able to say I am capable on being on boards beyond the industry. So I kind of used it, and I won't say used it because it wasn't intentional. It just kind of developed that way for me in terms of my journey, that I have a skill set that is transferable to other professions and industries.
I think I totally agree with, you know, what you're saying, because I think you have opened my eyes in regards to volunteerism and expanded, you know, how I view it. So I think that, you know, the skill set that you have gained at this point is so phenomenal, and I think a lot of executives might not share volunteerism as a building block for your career, but it can be, and that's what you're proving.
And I will say to you, I understand why it's not encouraged, because time is our currency, and volunteerism takes a lot of time. So the energy that you're giving for free, you know, pro bono, skill set is energy that could be directed towards building your business, building your practice, building your firm. So what I tried to do as I was testing out things for the nonprofits, you know, one specifically being the Association of African American Financial Advisors, and soon to spin out the Quad A Foundation, is as I'm growing as a practice, testing out some technology and different approaches to customer service. So finding the parallels, the win-win, so that both your volunteerism and your growth as a professional are in alignment so that you're getting the best effort for the time that you're investing, because time is our currency.
Right. Wow. I love that. You know, I have that as a quote. I'm going to quote you on that. Our time is our currency. So share with me what you feel the best decision you've made as a professional woman.
The best decision I made as a professional woman was starting my own practice.
Okay.
It gave me life that I felt like was being stripped away from me in my current environment.
Okay.
And For me, that freedom allows me to reach people like me, like my family that was overlooked. And that gives me energy every day when I am, you know, continually to try to match myself against firms that are well established and have been around a lot longer, to say that there are people out there who still needs to be exposed to financial planning. And many of my clients, I would say probably more than 80%, have never worked with a financial planner before working with me.
Right.
And
wow.
So that gives me the affirmation that I'm on to something. And gives me, you know, it validates my purpose on being on this earth, and I see the reward that my family experiences from me living into who I am and being my full self that they see at home and within my practice. And that is how I think life should be, that you're not compartmentalizing, you're bringing your full self to life, and my practice allows me to do that.
Love it. Love it. Validating your purpose and then living your full life. I think that's what we all strive to do anyway, which is to live a life where we can look back and say, I did what I was called to do.
Yes.
And now I can rest when that time comes, you know. Some people say I can be a little grim because I always think about what I want people to say about me.
Yes.
And that's kind of what keeps me focused, is recognizing that at the end of the day, what are people going to remember? What are you going to remember when when you're sick, or if you get sick or whatever, as you get older, what do you want to be remembered for, and what do you want people to recognize you for? And when I think of my life in those terms, it helps me to stay to continue along a path that keeps me humble, and also helps me to remember the purpose.
Yes, so I don't think it's grim at all, and I thank you for framing it about, you know, what legacy are you leaving for others, because that's the selflessness of thinking about what you're doing and the sacrifices that it takes to live out your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are willing to wrestle with each day, are they making each day count?
Right.
That's where the joy comes from in living. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. Thank you, because that's the whole thing about being connected to good people that that helps you or reminds you to stay on the path. You know, a lot of times, especially for me, when I think of being connected to other women, I think about it from the aspect of my daughter and what I hope she gains from watching this. Because, as we know, the media doesn't always portray women as girlfriends and sister friends, and that are there to encourage and to inspire and to hold your hand, to cry with you. But that's one of the things that we have as women. This is how we can be there for one another, and I think that that is so powerful, and it can get so lost with some of the things that you read and how the media will portray us on television. So I am so grateful today for having you as a sister friend to me, and I'm so grateful to be that for you.
Yes, me too.
Okay, so I want to go into my last question, but I feel that this question is a powerful question. So share with us some financial tips you would like to impart with other professional women based on what you've learned.
Now, as a financial planner, I'm going to take a little different approach to financial tips, because usually with financial tips, people want to hear something tied to the numbers. I'm actually going to start it with the biggest asset that a lot of people don't really think about, and that is you as a person, right? So with you, your human capital, making sure that you know your craft inside out, because that is something that will allow you to know your clients well and gain the confidence for them to continue with you and to do the word of mouth. So be an exceptional person in your craft.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece of this in terms of financial tips goes to habits and behaviors. One of the key behaviors or aspects is being organized, knowing where you are, what you have, and being able to put your hands on it at any time. So that includes your balance sheet, right? So here we go in terms of the numbers. Your balance sheet tells you kind of where you are, profitability, and your, you know, P&L, what's coming in, what's going out, what's left over, how is it being redeployed to build your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the tips of being organized, being comfortable with your numbers, knowing that you're your best asset, and then also seeking experts, because sometimes when you're making it up on your own, you can lose a whole lot of money.
Right.
So I have found being efficient is getting, you know, maybe a bookkeeper or a strategic coach, someone that can, in a shorter period of time, get you where you need to be rather than you spinning your wheels, because time is our currency again, on things that would take you a whole lot longer. When working with the expert will get you there faster and more profitable.
Yes, love it. I love those tips. So for people or women who are, because you know I focus on women, who are interested in getting in contact with you, what's your contact information that you would like to share today?
Okay, so I'll start with my website. That's financialfountains.com. And my social media hashtag for Instagram and Twitter is at FinFount. That's FinFount. So would love to hear from anyone who would love to be in contact. And I just know if they know you, they're in good hands as well, too.
Well, you know what? Everyone has to align themselves with someone that they are comfortable with, and I'm a big proponent of that, a huge proponent of people finding people that they're comfortable with because of the information that you end up sharing with your financial planner. We're kind of like the quarterback in your life, so, yeah. You know, you end up sharing so much information with us, and it's really about being comfortable with the person, and there's more than enough. So, you know, us working together and encouraging and supporting one another, that's really what one of the things that life is about, is about the people that you're connected to and how are you helping to build them up. So that's how I look at our relationship, and I'm looking at this conversation as one that we'll be able to share, and it'll be able to help others who are looking for women like us.
Well said, well said.
So thank you so much for joining me today, and I'm going to share your information again. So for those who may be interested in reaching out to Lizetta, her website is financialfountains, FountainsFountains.com, and you can follow her on social media at FinFount, FinFount, on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. And also, let me give
and
you her
Facebook
phone number.
Too.
Okay. Oh, and Facebook. Okay. And let me give you the phone number as well, which is 888-683-4093. That number again is 883-683-4093. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you grow and seeing us grow as colleagues.
Thank you, Zanilia.